We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons on the Score.
Thanks for hanging out with us on the Score. We'll talk to Jason Stark in 40 minutes. Only mailman Darren is representing for sensitive White Sox fan today. I'm saying, what a disgusting Cubs bias, Parkins. Manny Machado, the White Sox are going to have interest in him. You can't even mention the Sox. It would be idiotic for the Sox to trade for Manny Machado. We were discussing trades.
Right. Things that might happen.
We were discussing trades at the deadline. The White Sox are not trying to win this year,
no.
In case you haven't noticed. So why would you give up prospects in order to acquire Manny Machado? The Cubs, however, might win this year. So for them, it might be worth it to take a flyer on a top five position player in baseball.
Hey, the White Sox got to get going, though. We got to get them to 69 victories this year. Right now,
not loving our chances.
Our team overplays. We've got the White Sox over 68.
Yeah.
The Oakland's a 500 team right now, so they're on pace to go
over
73.5, I think.
I don't know. I wasn't really involved in
74.5? Yeah, Shep and I did those without your involvement.
That's fine. I trust you.
And Danny gets all the NHL playoffs now.
That's true.
And we took Kansas City.
As an
under. They're under. And they're, hell, they're worse than the White Sox. They're underneath the Sox in the standings.
They are a special kind of bet because their only good pitcher, Danny Duffy, they're talking about whether or not he needs to go to the bullpen, but they also can't score any runs. Former Cub Jorge Soler, who the Cubs traded straight up for Wade Davis, he's been awful.
He's an adventure in right field, too.
Yeah.
He's fun to watch out there. But, he's right field Schwarber.
Oh, well, and I hadn't thought of Jorge Soler since the Cubs traded him for Wade Davis, and Theo mentioned him when I had him on last week because I asked him about Joe comparing Javi Baez to Manny Ramirez. And he's like, well, Joe has a tendency to do that. He said that Jorge Soler was Vladimir Guerrero with plate discipline.
Oh, my.
So he just bust-tossed Joe. But Jorge Soler just hit another home run today. So do these numbers, Shep, are they including today's
game?
These
are Baseball Reference's numbers,
so not
they would not
today.
Have today's.
All right, so since starting the season 0 for 11 at the plate, Jorge Soler has gone 28 of 78 with 15 walks, 4 home runs, and he's hitting .359 with a .590 slugging and an OPS over 1.
That's prodigious.
Yeah, so he's playing like a Hall of Famer since starting 0 for 11 offensively in his last, 80 or so plate appearances. So Jorge Soler finally doing a little something on the big league level. Speaking of a Hall of Famer, at least a potential one, do you have Jason Witten as a Hall of Famer?
First year of eligibility. It's not up for debate.
Not up for debate.
Look at the numbers.
I have. He never averaged more than 12 yards a catch. He never had double-digit touchdowns in a season. Never had double-digit touchdowns in a season.
Danny, at his position, he's number one.
No, he's not. Tony Gonzalez was
Tony
a
Gonzalez
much better
and
tight
Antonio
end.
Gates are the only arguments.
No, Gronk?
Not yet.
Oh, stop.
I think he's as good a player, but he doesn't have the resume yet.
I have no idea. I haven't looked up. I looked up Witten's numbers 2 seconds ago.
Receptions at the position? Is he one?
I don't. Think,
I'm
no,
pretty
no, 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 no. Tony Gonzalez is one. Tony Gonzalez has all of them.
Okay, well, then Witten would be two.
Shep, will you look up? I bet you that Gronk.
Just don't print it if you look it up.
Wait, what's up?
He's printer challenged.
He's printer challenged?
Yeah.
We're millennials. We get everything on mobile situation for
no,
our
No, I
phone.
Love my Derby Agate. It's only 3 pages, including backsides, too.
Oh, it's backside? I didn't even realize
yeah,
I did that.
It's done on the backside as well.
Being a millennial, I'm all about the rainforest and saving paper, saving trees.
Good for you, and I support that.
5 pages front and back for the Derby. It was worth it for the Eddie O content. It was fantastic. Listen, Jason Witten, I think he's a great player. I don't think we'd be talking about him as a first ballot Hall of Famer if he wasn't on the Cowboys, though. And he would not be getting the Monday Night Football job.
All right,
if
but he was on the Cowboys.
So if you,
Emmitt Smith wouldn't be the all-time leading rusher if he weren't on that Cowboys team with that Hall of Fame offense. But he was on the Cowboys.
Right, but that's a little different because he was a multi-time Super Bowl champion, and he was the NFL's all-time leading rusher. He broke.
Yeah, but it wouldn't happen if he were somewhere else.
Right, I know, but
that's your argument.
I'm talking about popularity. He would not be as popular of a player if he wasn't on the Dallas Cowboys. He would not be the host or the analyst of Monday Night Football if he was on the Dallas Cowboys. Does Gronk have more touchdowns than Jason Witten already? Like, I'll pull this up right now. We're going
to
do this.
We'll get to it. Let's talk about Jason Witten getting the Monday Night Football job.
That's fine.
Shame on ESPN.
I'm having two conversations simultaneously.
Yeah, I know. But shame on ESPN.
Yeah, Gronk has 8 more touchdowns in his career already.
Okay.
Then Jason Witten. Jason Witten's a very good player. I would not put him in on the first ballot, and I would like to do a deeper dive on whether or not he actually should get in. But continue with your Monday Night Football.
I don't want to hear Jason Witten. He's never struck me as incredibly interesting, and I think they're doing him a disservice and the audience by putting a rookie broadcaster in there. And I guess we can blame CBS for blazing the trail last year and giving Tony Romo his first job as the number one analyst.
I think that a huge part of this, like it tells you all that you need to know about what the network executives are really looking for. Mass appeal. That's it. They get their biggest ratings for Sunday Night Football when the Cowboys are in the game. They get their biggest ratings for Monday Night Football when the Cowboys are in the game. They get their biggest ratings on Thanksgiving when it's the Cowboys game. So you got Aikman as the lead analyst on Fox. You got Romo as the lead analyst on CBS. Now you got Witten as the lead analyst.
You still have Moose Johnson as in a booth every Sunday, too.
Yeah. So now the three networks that carry the games outside of NBC and Sunday Night Football, but they've got Patriots and Colts in all over their studio show with Harrison and Dungy and all that. They want mass appeal. I really
does Jason Witten really provide that, though?
I think he appeals to the heartland and middle America, and I'm not even saying it's like a political thing. I have no idea which direction he leans at all, but he just strikes you as an everyman. Jason Witten, the hard-nosed tight end of the Dallas.
On Monday Night Football.
Listen, I think
you go from some of the greatest characters in the history of football who've had that job.
Mac, I think it's ridiculous. I'm telling you, I think it shows you what the executives want. They want recency.
Okay, I'm good with that.
Right, so young people know who it is, right? I think that's a huge part of it. And then they want mass appeal. And there's no place that gives you mass appeal more than the Dallas Cowboys.
Let me give you a guy I would love to have seen them roll dice on. And he's only done a short-term apprenticeship with NFL Network. He's got your Q rating. He's got your credentials as a player. And that's Steve Smith. Former Carolina Panther, Baltimore Ravens.
He's very good on the NFL
Network.
I like
him on NFL Network. I would have loved to have seen them give him a chance. He'll step out and have an opinion. He's got personality. He's starting to use big words correctly.
When I come to L.A., I'm going to whoop your ass.
He's great.
I loved him as a player, and I'd love to hear him get a shot.
I would,
but
too.
I'll watch him on Sundays on NFL Network during the week as well.
The truth is that there's no analyst basically in all of sports that makes a difference in game broadcasts in terms of ratings. It doesn't really exist.
No, it doesn't help ratings, but it's, I don't know. I think when you look at some of the big names that have been on the biggest stage in football broadcasting, you're talking about John Madden.
Mm-hmm.
And in an era before you can remember, Don Meredith, one of the first, not the first, but one of the first analyst when the broadcast started in the early 70s. He was a character. He was terrific. They tried Dennis Miller. That didn't work.
Tried Kornheiser.
Yes, and Rush Limbaugh had a brief run.
On Countdown, he wasn't in a game booth, right? He was on some.
No, he did a game.
No.
Maybe he did a game.
He did a game and said America was desirous of more black quarterbacks. It was a game involving Donovan McNabb. I'm almost positive.
Was it a game involving Donovan McNabb, or was that the studio show that he said that on?
I think he said that on Countdown involving Donovan McNabb.
Really? He never actually did. I thought he actually did a game.
I mean, I don't think I'd bet against it. I think that he was in the studio on ESPN, and it was may, it maybe overlapped when Kornheiser was in the booth. They might have been, they might have been trying both at the same time.
Whatever it was, they were they were considering him. That's Rush Limbaugh, Q rating.
Yeah,
household name. Jason Witten. What? Jason freaking Witten?
I think that they would disagree with you as him not being a household name because he played for the Cowboys. Think about it's the Cowboys. Everything that they're talking about is ratings going down, but what you read these stories about when the schedule is being made, all these network executives still, they just want the Cowboys.
Ratings are going down in everything. People need to stop slapping that just on the NFL.
I agree. Well, I mean, they're actually not in the NBA, for whatever that's worth. It's a separate conversation, but they're not in the NBA. The NBA ratings were up 16% for the first round of the playoffs. They were up like 9% for the regular season.
I'll take your word for it.
I mean, it's out.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
And it's a huge success story for them. But you're right. Ratings are going down for everything because there are more choices and because the measurement for ratings is old school. And there's 100 reasons. I agree. People should stop slapping the NFL for it. But but those network executives with their two comma salaries that have to justify their rights fees, they're saying, okay, where do we get the highest ratings? Cowboys games. Who's a Cowboy we can put in the booth? I really think it's that. I have no inside knowledge of that, but it seems fairly obvious to me when Romo gets to sit next to Jim Nance and Aikman is still there, and Aikman's doing Thursday night football and the Sunday game of the week with Fox. Every big game is going to have a former Cowboy in it. Every single one, except for Sunday night football on NBC with Collinsworth. He's the only guy who's not a big name analyst, and they've got pretty much every other big name you can have.
By the way, I'm going to admit this. The other morning, I watched a little bit of the Jaguars and Steelers divisional play weekend because I wanted to
read. Why did you do that?
Because I wanted to hear if Ian Eagle and Dan Fouts were as bad as I thought they were. And they were. They were terrible. And I used to be a Fouts fan. I watched the first half of that game the other morning.
Wow.
Waiting for baseball.
You really were bored.
Yep. I mean, watching shadows on the wall.
The man needs an outlet.
Jason Witten, and back to your Hall of Fame point on this, fourth all-time in receptions, and I know that it's like it's
all-time in any position?
All-time any position. But when you start to go over this list, it's all surefire Hall of Famers. And I understand value of touchdown versus value of just common reception. Rice, Gonzalez, Fitzgerald, the only three ahead of him. Then the ones immediately after, Marvin Harrison, Chris Carter, Tim Brown, T.O., Bolden, Reggie Wayne, Andre Johnson, Steve Smith, Isaac Bruce, Hines Ward, Randy Moss, Brandon Marshall, Andre Reed, Derek Mason, Art Monk, and Antonio Gates round out your top 20. Like
many of those names are Hall of Famers already.
Damn near all.
And some of them are going in when they get
right. Way.
Yeah. Yes.
Most of them are on their way.
My guess is, if I had to bet on it, my bet is that Witten gets in. But so Gronk has played in 102 games. All right? Gronk's been in 102 games, and he has 76 touchdowns and averages 15.1 yards per catch. Jason Witten has played in 239 games.
Okay.
So more than twice the games of Jason Witten. Witten averages 10.8 yards a catch and has 68 touchdowns.
Is that all the position is for you? Is catching touchdown passes?
Well, also, just because Gronk is phenomenal doesn't take anything away from Jason Witten at the same
Gronk
time.
Gronk is phenomenal, but Gronk also plays the slot a lot of the time. He is not a typical old-school wide tight end who always lines up next to the tackle.
My point is that normally we do Hall of Fame candidacy in football based on how you compare to your peers at the position. And there are multiple tight ends throughout history that are better than Jason Witten, even though he has compiled an insane number of stats. He has counting stats. He's got a lot of yards. He's got a lot of games played. He's got a lot of catches. He was super reliable. I bet you his third down catch rate was fantastic. He was the guy that they always looked to for first downs on third and six, third and seven.
He's played more games than any Cowboy in franchise history. 236 games, I think.
And availability is a spectacular thing. Reliable,
yes,
durable, and all that. But that's not normally how we describe Hall of Famers. Hall of Famers is excellence. Peak. Gates was better than him. Tony Gonzalez was better than him. Gronk was better than him. And so
I'd rather have Gronk than Jason Witten.
Yeah. More so.
But that doesn't make Jason Witten any less of a Hall of Famer to me. I'll make you a bet 5 years from now that Jason Witten is going into the Hall of Fame in his first year of eligibility. I'll take you up on that. You want it?
Man, T.O. didn't get in on first ballot.
Chris That's Carter, because he had off-the-field issues and he warred with the media.
Chris Carter didn't get in on first ballot?
Same thing.
I mean, I guess.
Chris Carter wasn't loved by the media when he retired.
Yeah. All right, I'll take the bet. Without it doing any research.
Okay.
I'll take the bet.
$200 gift card at the restaurant of your choice.
Done. With 5 years to pay it off. I'm so glad you're back. That's $40 a year. It's free money. It's McNeil and Parkins on the Score.
I yearned for the daily grind, and I couldn't get enough of it. With that, I never allowed my mind to drift to a place to think of what this day would look like for me. I never wanted this day to come, but it does come for all of us.
Jason Witten at his retirement press conference today at the Cowboys facility.
Sounded like he was reading. Is he going to read when he's on Monday Night Football?
Can't do it then. I heard he cried at the going away press conference. Got a little teary-eyed for Jason Witten.
That's a Cowboy tradition. Troy Aikman wept at his retirement.
T.O. wept when discussing his quarterback. That's my quarterback, Tony Romo. It's my quarterback. This segment is brought to you by Indeed. Are you hiring? With Indeed, you could post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on qualified candidates in an online dashboard. Get started at Indeed.com/hire. I did not realize that it would be so polarizing in the great city of Chicago to say, I don't think Jason Witten's a first ballot Hall of Famer. But man,
there's a lot of arguments coming in.
Yeah, okay.
People are bringing some heat today, aren't they?
Okay. Like, my bad. Look at this. First of all, the Football Hall of Fame's weird. All you have to do is listen to these guys talk about it. So like,
there's 50 guys or 54 guys who vote on the NFL's Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
That's ridiculously low.
Yeah.
And Heisman Trophy, if you've ever watched a college football game, you get a vote.
Right. And you have them on and you talk about this sort of thing. And maybe Witten, because he's so friendly with the media and now he's joining Monday Night Football, so he should only get cozier with the media.
Sure.
Maybe that will help him get in.
Don't make an excuse now. He's going in.
Listen, I'll give you the $200 to the restaurant if I lose the bet. I think he's a Hall of Famer, just not on the first ballot. His numbers are okay.
All right.
They're not great. One of those Hall of Fame voters is Peter King. He is leaving Sports Illustrated after 29 years. Looks like he's going full-time to NBC Sports. So I don't know what will happen with the MMQB.com. Shep, it was a long piece that he just put out. I didn't have time to read it. If you could see if there's an answer to that, because the Monday Morning Quarterback is a great website for football things. So I don't know if that's going with Peter King to NBC or if that's going to stay at Sports Illustrated or how that's going to work out. But I hope it still exists. And then huge piece of football news.
Yes.
Matt Ryan has signed a 5-year extension with the Atlanta Falcons. $100 million guaranteed, and the extension bumps his average annual value to $30 million per season, the first time ever for a quarterback.
Timing is everything.
That's right.
Timing is everything.
You want to play that again, Tanny, so you don't have a step on that?
Yeah. I'm rich, biatch.
Perfect.
This is the problem with this studio. I can't see the producers.
Yeah, but anytime we can work that in.
Jeez.
It's a great drop.
You know the problem with my studio in here? I can't get the damn internet to work, and I just need to feel like I need to tell somebody about that right now.
Oh, so you can't even look up what I'm asking you to look
We're
up about
Aaron Martin Ravens. It is.
It's Festivus at the Score.
Matt Ryan has been statistically a fantastic quarterback.
Yeah.
He's an NFL MVP. His numbers were a smidge down last year on the heels of his career best 117 rating. When they blew the Super Bowl?
Well, yeah. Remember how badly they started last year with the coordinator change and all that?
Yes.
With Sark coming in?
And they should have lost here. The year before, he threw 38 touchdowns and only 7 interceptions. So, timing's everything. Would I want Matt Ryan? Hell yeah. Compared to a lot of guys I've had,
yeah.
I'd want him.
Yeah.
Do I think he's the best quarterback in the game? No, he's not in the top 3.
I agree with that.
Might not be in the top 5. But his timing on this contract is perfect.
Right. I mean, Alex Smith just got a $70 million deal. Kirk Cousins just got an $84 million deal. They're not even in the top 10 of quarterbacks in the NFL. So, like, you're right. It's whoever signs it most recently because the cap keeps going up every year. But the happiest person outside of the Ryan household?
Aaron Rodgers. Yep.
This is now the floor for his contract. Even though he's older than Matt Ryan. He's 34 years old. He will sign a 5-year extension because he'll play until he's 40.
Rodgers has 2 years left on his current deal, and Packers general manager Brian Gutekunst The son of former Minnesota Golden Gophers head coach John Gutekunst is optimistic they will have a deal worked out, an extension from a brand new deal before they go to training camp.
Which is very generous on the Packers' behalf. Now, obviously, he's earned
it. I wouldn't do it.
See,
given his health history, why?
Well, it's all about him, like,
you want him happy?
Yes.
I don't, but you don't like, here, you're making $21 million. Be happy.
Okay, but in that locker room and in this NFL where you want to attract free agents and you're trying to win another Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers, if Aaron Rodgers can't get paid, they will say, well, then this organization, who's going to get paid here? If Aaron Rodgers can't earn market
value.
Well, I think,
yeah, but if somebody else comes up and the organization says, we're going to pay you money that no one else is going to pay you, they couldn't care less what Aaron Rodgers was offered a year or two prior.
I guess to me, because you're right, he's got 2 years left on his deal, and then they could franchise tag him for 2 years. So they could control his contract rights for 4 years, but my guess is they're going to just buy that out, right? They're gonna just do an extension on the current deal, and it'll be massive. It'll be it'll be $130 million guaranteed, would be my guess.
Probably. In that ballpark.
A 30% raise of whatever Matt Ryan just got.
Matt Ryan also got himself a gift in the draft. Calvin Ridley.
It's true.
Going to ATL.
Had better gifts.
Well, I mean, you get a first-round wide receiver. I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm just not Taylor. A Calvin Ridley guy.
It's going to be pretty good. But, I mean, it'll be about the third option in that passing attack.
Yeah.
If you add running backs in.
He's a good route runner, man.
Sanu's a pretty good player, too.
Well, yeah. Well, they lost Taylor Gabriel to the Bears, so right.
Right. Mohamed Sanu and Julio Jones.
Yeah, and I said third.
Yeah. Right, that's right.
I know
we can count, yeah. And exercise helps you lose weight.
I'll go Falcons for Falcon with you, Mac. Any dime you want.
Jeff Van Note.
Steve Bartkowski.
You guys are dorks.
Number 10.
Talk to Jason Stark coming up very soon here on the McNeil and Parkins Show. It appears that the Monday morning quarterback will go on without Peter King, which is good. The Albert Breer
scouting
goes
Northbrook. On.
Emily Kaplan does great work over at the MMQB. They've got a lot of really talented writers.
And just for the record, Peter King, a name, not a condition. Man, I knew Matt Ryan was good. I didn't know he was this good. These are his touchdown to interception numbers since 2010. 28 versus 9, 29 versus 12, 32 versus 14, 26-17, 28-14, 21-16, not a great year in 15, and then the 38-7 and the 20-12 last year. He throws for 4,500 yards every year and has yet to win a Super Bowl.
He's a very good player.
Boy,
and
did they spit the bit in Philly. They were terrible in Philly.
Yes,
scored one touchdown?
Yes, they were.
Awful.
They were terrible. And then, of course, the Super Bowl collapsed. But, hey, it's a have and a have-not league. Matt Ryan has you in the have category, right? You can win a Super Bowl with Matt Ryan as your quarterback, even though he hasn't done it yet. So that's why they're going to pay him. Jason Stark from The Athletic and MLB Network is going to join us coming up next. The national baseball scene, we will try to trade Manny Machado to the north side of Chicago. And then after he wins a World Series for the Cubs, he can sign a $300 million deal with the White Sox. It'll be an all-inclusive segment coming up on The Score.
And now Mr. Stark has prepared a statement.
Jason Stark.
For the last century, baseball's had a culture that basically suppressed personality. Joe Maddon wants a culture that encourages personality.
Covering Major League Baseball for The Athletic.
Jason Stark had this little nugget of joy.
Jason Stark put together a really good column in The Athletic.
Jason Stark had a note.
I'm kind of hung up on this trivia question here from Jason Stark.
Jason Stark had a great stat.
Baseball writer for four decades.
Gone! Big fly, Ohtani-san!
Jason Stark.
Lord Stark, the guardsman just rode in from the hills. Captured a deserter from the night's watch.
Get the lads to saddle their horses.
Jason Stark with McNeil and Parkins on 670 The Score.
Thursdays at 3:40, the host of Baseball Stories at WatchStadium.com, senior baseball writer at The Athletic. You could also see his work on the MLB Network. Jason Stark back with us on The Score. How's it going, Jason?
Danny, it's good. We've ripped off all the ski masks. It actually looks like spring. What a thing.
Yeah, we have had summer in Chicago weather. Like, the wind has been blowing out, and we actually hit 80 degrees the other day. It was
short sleeves yesterday at the ballpark.
Yeah, it was a beautiful thing.
I'm in favor of that.
Yeah, we all are. I also want to figure out with you how we can trade Manny Machado to the Cubs.
Well, I think it's a little early for that.
Yeah, I know, Jason, but indulge me. Come on.
All right, well, let's just work on this assumption. He's not going to finish the season with that team, right? There's no chance of that happening. They're 8-22. They're 14 games out in the East. They're 10 games out in the second wild card. And I don't care how many games there are to go, they're not making up that deficit against this field.
Oh, that field is a wrecking crew right now.
Well, the Red Sox and the Yankees, I mean, you can start selling the postseason tickets right now, can't you?
Yeah.
I think we almost know the entire AL playoff field. You know, what's the scenario where the Red Sox, Yankees, Indians, and Astros don't make it? And the Angels look like they're going to make it. So basically the whole league is playing for one wild card spot. That's kind of the way it looks. And, you know, no team starts to unload on May the 3rd, and that includes the Orioles. They've sold a bunch of tickets. The people who buy those tickets love watching Manny Machado. He's going to be there a while. But I also do get the sense that the rumors are going to start early this year. Rumor season will be Memorial Day or first week of June, right after the draft. Just getting the sense that the sellers realize they're going to have to get out in front of the pack. The question is, when you have a player like Machado, and it's so important to the Orioles to get a big return, aren't they likely to wait as long as they can to move him, get some kind of bidding war going? I think so.
Unless the argument would be you get more for the more games you get him.
Yeah, if the offer's right, I think that's true. And, you know, I wouldn't say that the Cubs are out of the question. You know, a lot of people talk Dodgers. The Orioles would have to take money in order to move that money to the Dodgers because they're not going over the threshold. And, you know, then you've got some other teams that I think are interesting. I could certainly see the Brewers if they hang in there. I could see the Blue Jays who, I don't know what they're going to do about Tulo, but I don't think they feel like he's ever coming back, right?
Aren't the Orioles normally hesitant to trade stars, and then they would be trading in the division?
That's a problem. I mean, it's hard to imagine him getting traded in the division, but this is such an important deal for them. As long as they don't trade him to the Yankees, they might be able to live with it. But I think you're right. If he's willing to play third base, I think, you know, the Braves would have Ryan Flaherty playing third. That's a team to watch, certainly. Twins, if they bounce back at all. But the Cubs are the perfect fit. And if they're really willing to turn the page on the Addison Russell era, it's something to watch.
We're talking to Jason Stark from The Athletic and MLB Network. Would you be willing to turn the page on the Addison Russell era?
Right this very minute, I wouldn't. You know, I've watched Addison Russell play too well, and he's 24 years old. And it's just hard to give up on a guy who's that smart, that athletic, who you've won a World Series with, who I think everybody feels like there's more there than what we're seeing. But, you know, at a certain point, he's going to have to turn the corner offensively. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Jason, Yu Darvish made his sixth start as a Cub yesterday. Not a good first half a dozen for the young man. Should a Cubs fan be concerned? I mean, there's been a lot of issues, too. He seems to be a little fragile between the ears.
Well, you know, I know that Joe Maddon kind of lashed back at that theory last week, but I can tell you what his reputation is inside the game. And that is, he's a guy who's got great, pure stuff. And when he's got his good stuff and he's got his good command and his delivery is together, there's nobody that hitters would want to face less than him. But those days when he doesn't have it, or that third time through the order, that's when you wonder about why he can't seem to fight through that. It, you know, it makes no sense to look at his numbers. Hitters hitting 174 against him first two times through the order, and 536 after that with a 1600 OPS. That makes no sense for a guy with six pitches to have that kind of track record when a guy with that repertoire should be able to vary patterns, vary out pitches to the point where he can fight through it. I don't understand why he can't. And, you know, like I never like to assume I know what's in a guy's head. I just know that when you watch him in those moments as things start to spiral, what I want to see out of my best pitcher is a guy who owns the moment, who owns the mound, who owns that confrontation. And he never gives you that body language, it feels like. I don't know how to explain it.
Well, and the twisting of the knife for Cubs fans with that is the team that you're closest to out where you live in Philadelphia is Jake Arrieta. He's Mr. Body Language. He controls the mound, he controls the clubhouse, and he's having no problems adjusting to his new team, right? I assume they're thrilled with what they're getting in Philly so far.
Yeah, I mean, the adjustment part of it, the body language, all that's great. You know, I don't think that what they've seen, what anybody's seen, is that Jake Arrieta, who won the Cy Young Award, he's not that guy right now. Velocity's down. That slider-cutter monstrosity isn't quite the same. He had one day where his two-seamer command and movement was so incredible that he punches out 10. But he's done a lot of huffing and puffing other than that to get through his outings. Based on the age, it was hard to offer him what they were offering Yu Darvish. And it was interesting to see his quotes in the Sun-Times this week because, I think he's interpreting it right. I think the Cubs decided a long time ago that he wasn't coming back and they weren't going to wait for him.
And I always, for the last year when that was a discussion, I argued that that made sense. And it seemed to me like Jake Arrieta's arm hasn't blown out yet. And there's a good chance at some point that it will because it does for most pitchers. So thank you very much for your services. Good luck somewhere else. Do you think
that guy's thrown across his body like that at max effort?
Exactly.
People have been holding their breath for a long time. And it's just hard to commit to that guy for a long period of time when his agent is Scott Boras and you know that the negotiations are going to drag on all winter and you know what Scott's asking and there's an alternative. So they took the next best alternative. I understand why they did it. But I also understand why people miss the guy who's not there anymore.
Right. We're talking to Jason Stark from The Athletic and MLB Network. The piece that you wrote at The Athletic kind of recapping the month of April and the cold and all that, you had a section on the ball never being in play. Can you please share your findings with our audience?
Yeah. Well, I mean, this would be the upshot. If we keep going at this pace, there are going to be 10,000 fewer balls in play this season than in 2009. 10,000 fewer balls in play. Now, a lot of that is fueled by strikeouts, right? It's over 2,000 more strikeouts than last year at this pace. And it continues a pace that we've seen for a decade now. I mean, strikeouts are going to be up 10,000 just over the last 10 years, 5,000 over the last 5 years. But it's an issue for the sport, isn't it? I think a lot of this is being fueled by change in approach and change in thinking. It's all that thinking is very intelligently conceived, but it's leading the game toward a less entertaining product. I wish somebody could figure out what to do about it. They've spent a lot of time looking at it, but nobody knows what exactly to do about it.
Well, right, because there were more strikeouts than hits, right?
Yep.
I know you know all of the advanced numbers, and what I always say about them is, like, I understand them, but I don't love them because I think it excludes some people from the conversation. That's a really easy way of explaining it, Jason. There were more strikeouts than hits for an entire month. That seems wrong.
Especially because only 3 years ago, there were 5,000 more hits than strikeouts.
Right.
Okay? That's over 3 years we've seen this development. And I mean, strikeouts are a product of a lot of things. And, you know, some of those things have to do with information and pitch sequencing and just knowing if I throw this guy this pitch in this spot, he will miss it. He'll chase it and he'll miss it. But velocity is obviously a big deal. I took a look at this. I haven't written this yet, but last year I looked at pitchers who got 50 innings or more. We had 98 who averaged 95 miles an hour. 5 years ago, it was 45, so half of that. 10 years ago, it was 22, so even half of that. How about that progression? I think that's got something to do with it.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. You know, I watched a game yesterday where there were more strikeouts than hits, and it was a fabulous game. It was the White Sox and Cardinals, Carlos Martinez and Lucas Giolito. That was an artful game. It was a wonderful game, but I guess that makes me in the minority.
Well, you know, I like a great pitcher's duel, but is that what this is? I don't think that's what this is. You know, look, if it's Scherzer against Kershaw, and they're both going seven, and they both have the baseball in their hand 100 times, that's artistry to me. But if it's the starter goes 5 1/3 and then 7 relievers come in after that, I don't think that's artistry. It's good baseball strategy. It's just not good entertainment strategy.
Right. It's also an all-or-nothing approach that's lending itself to it, right? It's that we'll take the strikeout so we don't hit the double play, and if we do make contact, it'll go over the wall. And that's that's leading to the all or nothing like that. I know all the launch angles and everything that leads to that. And again, it probably is good strategy to win baseball games. But guys I've never heard of are striking out 9 guys in a start. I'm like, okay, I guess.
Right? Well, you know, it's funny. The Cubs are trying to buck that trend too. They're trying to buck lots of trends. You know, they're shifting less than any team in the game.
Yep.
And you know, now Chili Davis is the hitting coach, and the thought process is, let's swing early in the count. Let's be more aggressive. And if you do that, you'll strike out less. You'll walk less. You'll strike out less. You won't get to the bullpen, which isn't always a bad thing, because some of these bullpens, you don't want to see those guys come in the game. But, what you've seen is a team that it's not striking out, right? But it does lead the entire sport in soft contact.
Right, they're not hitting homers.
Right, so all this talk about launch angle and selling out, and what you're getting instead is soft contact. It's going to be interesting to watch this play out. I'm sure as it warms up, that's not going to continue. But it's really interesting to try to get behind how the Cubs think and how they're putting that thinking into action right now.
You don't see many teams that finish second in the league in runs scored fire their hitting coach.
That thought has occurred to John Mailey, too, by the way.
I believe it. Care to share any insight there?
Well, I just think that this is front office driven to some extent. That Theo and Jed have always thought that it's healthy from time to time to change the voices, change the hitting coach, change the pitching coach. And they've done it in Boston. They've done it here. And I also think, from talking to Joe, that John Mailey was the hardest change they've ever had to make. And, you know, there are a lot of people around that organization who love Chili Davis and thought Chili would be a great fit. But look, under any circumstances, by any standard, there was no reason to fire the previous hitting coach.
Yeah, all he did was win a World Series and score some franchise records for runs and home runs. But other than that, I mean, didn't do anything. Jason, you got any thoughts on Sammy Sosa getting back into the fold with the Cubs? You've been following this story?
I have. I mean, this has been about the most uncomfortable separation between one-time icon and the franchise he iconed for that I could ever remember. And, we're a lot of years down the road now. Virtually all the people that he had the issues with are gone now. I would hope that they could find some way to broker some sort of peace. it's just so uncomfortable for them to find themselves in this place when it seems like reasonable men should be able to work out a better place.
We're in agreement with you. Jason Stark from The Athletic and MLB Network, as always, thank you. We'll talk to you next week.
Enjoyed it, man. Thank you.
Thanks, Jason.
That's Jason Stark from The Athletic. Great baseball insight, as always. I want to know if this Sammy Sosa interview on NBC Sports Chicago did anything for you. We'll get into it. Teddy Greenstein going to join us coming up soon as well. It's McNeil and Park. It's on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.